listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 13th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very happy to be here.
So happy to have you with us and so happy to have everybody in our chat. We always look forward to seeing you and it's always a pleasure. And of course, we appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Of course, we'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight's topic, Yuletide traditions. So I'm going to immediately turn this over to our Yuletide expert over here, Dr. Vicki.
Well, I'd like to say also welcome to the newcomers in the chat. Very nice to have you here. Jennifer is a new student. Powell has joined us for the first time that I recognize the name. And I'm glad to see newcomers. That's awesome. So that's how I want to start the show. Welcome, everybody. I love this topic and I love this time of year. But again, you know, we're not religious folks, so let's just start by saying we can all say all cultures or religions have their traditions, especially at this time of the year. And, you know, Ukrainians have Christmas on January 7th. Usually it goes for days, like a wedding. But December 25th in Christianity, and of course every other religion has things. But what about pre-religion? And that's, in my life, that's what I was gravitating toward. And I know a lot of you who have been with us for a long time know that about me. I wanted to go back in my roots, which are primarily Scandinavian / Viking. And, of course, there's a lot of wonderful traditions, still the last to be conquered by Christians. And my Sami roots by my mother's side, just a few generations back, you know, we still have those same political, you know, issues as indigenous people of North America, South America, and everywhere else. So, you know, that's what I want to do is go back and find traditions that felt natural, that felt right mm-hmm. for my DNA. And that doesn't mean everybody should do that. It was just that felt better for me. And I had to do research over many years and gradually build into all the ceremonies throughout the years, which are the natural rhythms, being a pantheist. So, quote unquote, pantheist is someone who believes that God is in the nature of all things. So that energy, if you will, the force, like the force be with you, Michael. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, you know how I like a good Star Wars reference.
Yes. Pagan actually was a term given by the Christians to tribal people, meaning without God. helpful. That's they seem to be without a religion, without a god, therefore called pagans. And I'm really not offended by that word at all. Others would say we're atheist. And yeah, I don't believe in one singular god, if you will. I believe in many, and aliens too, Michael. So there you go. But what I did is, in this research, is the one thing, the date of the solstice, that was the more important to me. You know, and we kind of fudge it in our family. It can be the 21st, 22nd, of course, scheduling and life, because, you know, the whole world shuts down on the 25th. But so it's like, what's on a weekend? What's on a Friday? This year, we're going to do it on the 22nd of Friday. The kids are still in school till the Thursday. And it just seemed like a more sensible thing to do. So the full moon note isn't till the 26th. So however, that solstice being, you know, the shortest day, longest night mm-hmm. of the year, you know, kind of thing. And, of course, depending on where you live, it's not quite that way where you're in Australia.
You know, one thing I was curious about is, you know, what day you celebrate Yuletide on. And did you already mention that? Did I miss that?
Yeah, I just said this year we're doing it on the 22nd, but traditionally it's the 21st.
And that's the solstice?
Yep.
I see.
And again, it's all about, you know, where the transits are and, you know, the hours of the night. and so the issue with the main frame of that is everything is quiet. We're in winter, so it's in the quiet where everything seems to be sleeping but is stirring under the ground. One of the stories, of course, of Ragnarok would come during the winter solstice, you know, the longest night. Again, you know, where things are dark. But there's stories that we tell. So, again, in my research, I had to go back to some of the folklore, the myths, and whether we believe them or not, the great stories.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
And the gods, you know, to Baldur, Freya, Tyr, and there's, of course, a myriad of them. And so what would be the herbs, the plants, the, you know, fire, of course, is a great, you know, element, and so I just started building that over years. And the reason I felt that is, to me, traditions are, it's that bond, you know, that family bond, the community bond, that we do some planning and preparation together. And right down to the food. As Norse people, we always make lefse. And lutefisk is off the table. Not going to do it. Anybody doesn't know what lutefisk is fish in sauce.
And
terrible. It's terrible. In the old days, they used to preserve the fish in lye, and then you just throw it in boiling water and milk or whatever you had. It's disgusting. So, and even as an adult, I got convinced by a Norwegian community to come and have lefse, or pardon me, lutefisk one year now. I took one bite and I said, nah, I remember being a kid. that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I might be thinking of something else. I thought that was the dish where they you know, partially, lack of a better term, rotted it, and they stopped at that point as part of the curing process.
Yeah. Well, lutefisk is fish. Well, that's all I know. It's disgusting, Michael. it's this kind of fish. But we also make, you know, there's these deep fried cookies and, you know.
Now we're talking.
It's wonderful. Deep fried, and then you roll them in sugar. So we make sure that the grandkids have learned that, and it's that together bonding thing that we do. So mm-hmm. we have a day of this, a day of that, in the preparation, and we don't do turkey, so turkey just puts me to sleep anyway, but it's always a goose or a duck, something that you wouldn't have at any other time of the year, so to speak. That's just for us. And so we do say prayers, and the prayers are kind of a combination of an old Rosicrucian prayer that I had learned when I was in my 20s, also combined to, you know, thanking you know, nature, thanking the gods, thanking everyone, you know, for being together and sharing in the food experience. And we burn sweetgrass and sage, you know, when everybody kind of clears their energy in preparation. We also tell the stories of Fenrir and Baldur and some of the old folklore. And it's just fun. So every year it's repeated. And now my oldest daughter tells the story. So it's like passing things down to the next generations. Now, if you don't have children or grandchildren, there still might be things that you can share with your family and friends. You know, something that you've learned, something that you want to say. The other thing is to go around the table and ask people what they're grateful for. You know, just something that where everyone has a turn to speak, something to share in that. And so it's kind of, again, that camaraderie.
I was just going to say that's one of my favorite parts listening is the, you know, the expression of gratitude, which we've talked about so much lately, important that is to our outlook. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say one of the other things that I do in preparation for the solstice and our Yuletide, so to speak, and our dinner, is I make pouches out of white cotton fabric, little squares, and I put mistletoe and hawthorn, two herbs. Hawthorn is one of protection, and the mistletoe is an amplifier, and I tie it with a red ribbon. So you take, and everyone gets that, usually two, one for each door that you have in your house, put them over your doorway. You take the old one out, and it goes into the fire. So you're burning that energy of the previous year. And then everyone gets to put up, you know, the new, you know, the new pouches over their door. And I do the same thing for a couple of friends every year, and they look forward to getting their pouches. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it's, but also it's about that energy, and it kind of is that reminder of, like even going out the door, I look at the pouch over the door, and I just have that moment of gratitude. You know, thanks for your protection, thanks for helping, and again, our energy, and walking in the world in a good way. So, you know, again, those things. Now, pouches might not be your thing. Studying herbs might not be your thing. But there might be something else that you could do in thinking about, and that's why we thought a couple of weeks before, you know, the Yuletide might give people a little bit of, you know, time to think about, maybe do some research. What did your grandparents do? Something else that they might have baked, what they might have cooked, minus the jellied salads. Thank you very much. I'll tell you, my mother and grandmother did jellied salads, and I cannot bring myself to do it.
I'm trying to imagine what that could possibly be like.
Oh, coleslaw with, you know, jello? And jello?
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
Yeah, or, mind you, she would also, you know, the can of mixed fruit. She'd take, of course, they got lazy as time went on, but, and do that in jello, and that would be served with dinner. And I can't do that either. But it's, again, if that's your thing. Maybe you want to do it for decoration. I don't know. But I think what's really important to note is that honoring this time of year where everything can just literally chill out, and if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, you know what I mean by that double entendre. It's just the rest and relaxation and that getting together. That, and even if you're on your own, maybe you want to invite a friend or invite yourself to somebody's house. Why not? You know, it's finding that way to feel connected. Now, in the event that you are alone, what is it, Zach? What did you say in the chat? Alex also wishes that he could make some of those jello salads, but he never has. Well, it's just easy enough, Zach. It's a pack of jello with whatever you want it.
What flavor jello, though?
Any flavor you want. Oh, jeez, can't go there, Michael. I just thought they're terrible. He says, yeah, but they're fancy like ice sculptures. Yes, my mother used to have particular dishes, and then you have to put the bowl into hot water for a few seconds and then turn it over really fast, and the sculpture comes out. You know.
Yeah. Oh, it is fancy.
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal. It was a big deal in my house. But you get the point, Michael. It's finding those little things for people to do, but that what would be, for me, honoring my ancestry and all those many, many, many generations who came before me. And it's very personalized to me because all of those people live in me. And it's not lost on me that happens. I've done a lot of DNA research, mm-hmm. a lot of family tree research, and all those people live in me. You know, my DNA is connected to the time before, you know, and how, like, forever back. And that's, to me, that's a memory, you know, and I'm honoring those people for what they went through.
Yeah.
And how it brought, you know, the generations afterward and gee, that we're even here.
Yeah, I mean, you know? From the sounds of it, you're honoring those old traditions and your ancestors, and you're finding yourself in the process.
It's very exciting to me. It's a very fun thing. And passing that on to my grandchildren, I haven't in the past... You know, we've kept it kind of light because we want the kids to have their own mind, to be of their own mind. They've had a lot of exposure now to Christianity, other religions. And now my daughter says, it's time. I said, okay, I'm in. So we're going to take it another step further, which is important to me, where they really participate in things more and learning what a pantheist is and more importantly what an atheist is. The only time it was kind of hard for them was a number of years ago, Yuletide happened to fall in the middle of the week. And then other kids are, you know, going out for Christmas but we already had ours. And yes, by the way, we do Santa Claus. Not so much now because they're older, but we do a tree. That symbolic tree, the mm-hmm. tree of life, and it's, the decorating, and the gifts.
What was the in the Nordic and Germanic traditions, what was the tree of life that held up the universe?
Yggdrasil.
Thank you.
Yep. Yggdrasil, Odin went to Mimir, and he wanted to know the secret of life, which is the secret of women, and how women had that other vision and that longer sight. And he hung on the tree of Yggdrasil. But Mimir also said, you have to sacrifice something. You have to sacrifice whatever it is, your belief system and so on. In this case, he sacrificed an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the eye was symbolic of how he viewed the world. And in that sacrifice, he gained insight and intuition. So there's a lesson in that, that even though, you know, we're afraid to give up some things or we're afraid of losing certain things of ourselves, there is something that we're also gaining, you know. And that's mm-hmm. part of the storytelling that we do at Yuletide as well. Because whatever might seem kind of bad for a minute, it's like, it's okay. It's temporary. And, whoa, there might be something really cool on the other side. So Yggdrasil is that tree of life. And by the way, in Norse folklore, Hel is H-E-L, and that's life on Earth. Midgard is the spirit world. Asgard is the higher world.
I thought Midgard was Earth.
No, Hel is Earth. So the, Midgard, people and spirits. And then the Asgard is the gods.
You know, I didn't expect this to be so relevant, but I've been listening to this long podcast. It's like 5 hours an episode, two episodes. It's called Twilight of the Aesir being the pantheon of Nordic and Germanic gods, because mm-hmm. they're pretty much the same. But in that, and I really thought, and it might be different traditions, so throw that with a grain of salt, but Midgard was described, and I Googled it also, as the abode of mankind made from the body of the first created being. Of course, then they have all the different realms, Jotunheim, Asgard and all of that. But, you know, it's fascinating what you're talking about. And, you know, it connects so much with a lot of things. And It makes me think about the podcast I was listening to was about, they called it Twilight of the Aesir because it was about the, basically how, you know, Christianity killed the pantheons and, you know, in poetic terms, but the gradual over centuries conversions and such. And, you know, some interesting things. It was funny to me that the early adopters, the Vikings or the Norse, you know, your Danes or Nordic, kings, warlords, they would adopt Christianity, but they would just add Jesus to the pantheon. So they would keep doing all the stuff they were doing, but they'd also do the Jesus thing. And they also made him much more warrior-like.
You know, there's a lot of twists and turns in the last couple of thousand years, Michael.
That's true enough.
You know, I think a lot of people just make it up as they go, and that's kind of what I'm asking you to do, but hopefully in a more natural way. I'm really, I have to say this, I count my blessings every day. I have two daughters, and they married two men who are also atheists. And my second daughter is up here for a few weeks and with her husband, and we were in the car the other day, and I was saying, you have no idea how joyful I am that my daughters married atheist men. And he said, you have no idea how nice it is to be around an atheist family. Because his family is very Christianized. Oh, you know. And it was tough for him growing up because he said, you know, I had to go to church, and he went to school with all the nuns, but he said, I just couldn't buy it. So, again, there's, you know, there's more of us than we realize, people. But when you are in a predominantly religious area that's not of your own, be strong enough to stand in your own and not feel like you're out of place. You might be out of place in their mind, but you're not in your own mind. You know, it's like I was introduced to somebody a few years ago, and he said, by the way, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I said, oh, that doesn't bother me. You can be whatever you want. And he kind of looked at me, because that wasn't the response he was used to.
Yeah.
It was like, that's supposed to mean something to me? Because it doesn't. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's to be strong in that. And whatever you are, whatever culture you're from, whatever background you're from, if you can, and it's just because they think it's a cool thing to do for our ancestors, is to reach back and see what your ancestors did. You know, back in the day, and what kinds of traditions can you incorporate into this year, even if it's one thing. Into, you know, this year's celebration. And I got to say, even if you're by yourself, and I know a lot of people are, if you're the only atheist in a whole population of Christians, just take a moment on that day to remember yourself and to remember, you know, that how special this time of year is. And remember your ancestors, even if you have to go to work on that day. A lot of people have to work. There's no getting around it, and it's the 25th, it's the 22nd. But just take that moment, you know, just even if you can, 5 minutes. And if maybe you want to do something like light a candle, put an ornament up on your tree, or it's just that bringing back that ancestral memory and being grateful for now, because after the 21st, 22nd, we're now into another time. And that's what we, you know, that's what we're looking forward to, appreciating this moment and saying hello to a new year.
And, you know, I just love the entire concept, what we're talking about. And, you know, I have a question about Yuletide and how, you know, any traditions that cross over to Christmas and it, in a second here. But, you know, I always thought when I was young, of course, as I've talked about before, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, and we never celebrated Christmas because they quite accurately pointed out that it was a pagan holiday. And so there are a lot of things that I thought when I was young. And the biggest one was, you know, they would say, well, when you celebrate Christmas, you're just celebrating Satan and things like that. I'm like, no, you're not. You're just finding an excuse to come together. Yep. To celebrate one another. And I love this added layer to it of respecting our ancestors and traditions that came and bringing something that's meaningful to you, you know? So, also I wanted to clarify something because I, it caught me a little off guard earlier, too. In my lexicon, which is probably wrong, you know, I define atheist as somebody who's strictly materialist, who doesn't believe in any type of God or supernatural. But in this case, it's kind of more my version of agnostic, neither believing nor disbelieving. Mm. But so if anybody else is wrong like me in their definitions, I think that's what we're talking about, is more the not Christian, you know, not believing in that dogmatic thing. But, you know, I would be very curious. We talked about the Christmas tree. You made a couple other references. Are there any other traditions in what you would consider classical Christmas traditions that really are derived from that Germanic lore, of that Yuletide tradition?
All of them.
So, like, the mistletoe, I think, would be a big one. The tree,
Everything, obviously. There
is
not one Christian tradition, practice, ceremony that didn't come from a quote-unquote pagan
right.
Well, formality.
And they came from the, you know, the first pagans of, which actually, this was on the podcast too, the term pagan meant rural and rustic, and it was the people outside that weren't as civilized, that were still following the old ways outside of the Roman cities. But, you know, so that you have those kind of Roman traditions, and then they're melded with the Germanic and Nordic traditions later on in the centuries. And it's just
a solid negotiation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, political, economic negotiations. And Zach says in the chat, three wise men were astrologers. Probably.
Was that Zoroastrianism?
I think that if we stop and think where things come from, even the date of December 25th was a negotiation.
Saturnalia, if I'm not mistaken.
The what? Sorry?
Saturnalia.
Explain.
It was a holiday devoted to the god Saturn, if I'm right, but let's find out.
Yeah, but it was also so close to the Yuletide, the solstice. The Christians wouldn't accept the solstice.
Well, sure.
No, it's another reason that Ukrainians and the Orthodox believe in January 7th.
Well, that's also the calendar. They stuck with the Julian instead of the Gregorian. But, and also, you know, in the early days, it was all Roman-centric. You know, they didn't, we don't care about the Germans or the barbarians. So it was all centered around Roman traditions. And quick Google, Saturnalia was the most popular of Roman festivals dedicated to the Roman god Saturn, which was around that same time. So they kind of swapped it when they converted the empire. Did a lot of melding.
Yeah, well, that was the only way to win over a lot of the population in certain events. Zach says the irony is Saturn also sacrificed his son.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't matter to me in so many things what people believe. It's as long as we don't, and I know I've said this 100 times on this program, as long as we don't put it on other people. You know, I know even I work part-time at the hospital, and a lot of my coworkers are there as Christian. And, well, what are you doing, Vicki? And I say, well, I'm not Christian. Oh. no, I'm not Christian. What are you, a pantheist? Well, what's that? Pagan. Oh. You know? And I just smile and keep going. But they're curious. And one of my coworkers the other day messaged me and said, you celebrate Yuletide, don't you? I said, yes. She goes, well, it's interesting because this year she has to work through Christmas. So their family's going to be doing Christmas/Yuletide on the 23rd. Hmm. And it's inspired her because she's not really Christian. So it's inspired her to be flexible. And I thought, wow, that's a great thing, that, you know, that she was open-minded.
That's great.
Enough to consider to do that, because a lot of people just won't, you know.
Well, I think a lot of that is just you're afraid of the unknown. You want to hold on to what you perceive as your tribe, your culture.
Yeah.
And Zach jokingly said, but you must believe as I do. You simply must, I think, attributing to people that,
the
raised eyebrows you got when you said you were pagan. But
people don't want the finger pointing either. They don't want to stand out in a crowd, so to speak, and be at odds with their coworkers or others. And I don't feel like I'm at odds with anybody. I'm just really comfortable in saying I'm not a Christian.
Mm.
And it's that comfort of knowing who we are.
Absolutely.
And if you exude that, that comfort. People won't be so likely to challenge you. And even if they do challenge you, you can ask a couple of questions in return and say, I'm very respectful. Thank you very much. And walk away, you know. And but, so I know Dr. Jeff and Shauna say they're doing theirs on the 23rd. And footnote here, I have been messaging with Jeff and Shauna. They are in Sedona having a great time. He's been so generous to send me a couple of pictures and some a little video of when he was up on Bell Rock panning the valley. So he did manage with his little friendly dog and Shauna to get 3/4 of the way up, which honestly, Jeff, when I read that, I thought, wow, I'm amazed you got that far because that's even tough for me. But they're taking in some of the sites. I gave them a few recommendations, and I know tonight they were going to Elote for dinner, and I can't wait to hear about that because it's my favorite place to eat in Sedona of all places. But so, yeah, it's good. I'm glad that everyone is, you know, being flexible, finding your own way in the world and making up your own dates.
You know, and I think, you know, I loved your story talking about you talking with the folks at the hospital you work. Because if, you know, if anybody has a problem, that's really a them problem, you know? And just the confidence that you exude, the openness, I think, encourages others to be open-minded and to expand their awareness. And yeah. I like this message, you know, that is being discussed tonight of, you know, being individualistic, of, you know, finding something that resonates with you and looking back into our history. And, you know, it's a melding of a lot of different things. I absolutely love it.
Well, I have a great amount of respect for what our ancestors went through, and every family has a story. My mother's people actually were only in Norway itself for one generation before coming across to North America, to the Minnesota, North Dakota area. And by the way, Jeff has a little Scandinavian in his blood too, so we talk about that. But so the line traces all the way back up north into Sami land. So that connection of that. And when I learned that about my people, it's only a few generations back, the lifestyle and how closely related, you know, my Sami people are to indigenous North American people, and we're teepee people. You know, a lot of our symbols are the same. There's so many similarities that I was quite astounded by that, and that kinship that I felt. So when I have in the past put up a teepee, and, you know, some, you know, white people and non-white people say, why do you get to put up a teepee? Well, it's in my family. You know, and so I'm comfortable with that, you know. But it's just so much to learn from where we come from. And to regard where we came from. We live in a very privileged society now. We take so many things for granted. But when you had to work all day for your basic sustenance, and then you had to, you know, escape poverty, or you had to, the list is long. And, you know, going to a new world and just having to adapt, and, you know, there was never a guarantee of crops, you know, so it's just long. And I appreciate that about them. And I'm very grateful. A friend of mine just spent a month up in Baker Lake in Nunavut. And she said there are storms where you run out of water, you're out of water. Mm-hmm. The truck, because all the water is trucked in. And she said she got home and I appreciate running water. Just, I appreciate a lot of things right now. So, you know, and that's what I think we have to do, is appreciate what we have. It didn't come easily. You know, we take for granted life is, you know, yeah, there's emotional hardship, economic hardship. I'm not dismissing that. There's physical hardships. But really, we're okay.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's all about that gratitude you were talking about. I mean, we are standing on the shoulders of giants, of those that came before us.
Oh, we sure are. We sure are. So I guess it's that time, Michael. We're going to get on with drawing some cards for people. We do have a few names in the chat.
Yeah.
But I would encourage everybody, and I really want to hear from you over the next, you know, couple of weeks or a few weeks about – what did you do that might have been different, or what are your traditions that you've incorporated, you know, been incorporating with your families? I'd love to hear about them. To me, that's, I think it's exciting. It's fun.
Absolutely. And a little bit of homework and something to bring back to share. So, you know, yeah. It's something you challenged me for this year. I'm going to do it too.
Good. I want to hear.
You will. Whether you want to or not, you will.
All right. I think we have Dr. Jerry first, don't we?
All right. So, Dr. Jerry, for you, I have number 41, communication. Let's see. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Well, I got the Queen of Swords, Jerry, in support of that. Queen of Spades. When I put those together, it's making a command, you know, that state of command, not demand, but the state of command, and communicating with a command, you know, that self-certainty, not just that confidence, but that calmness, that self-certain kind of display, if you will. So again, it's not being aggressive, it's just being a good communicator from a solid place. And it might be that you're in a situation with somebody and it's not a no, it's a no, you know, and just having that moment with yourself saying, huh, that wasn't so hard. It's cool. Hope that makes sense.
All right. We have Dr. Zach next. For you, I have number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another.
Well, I got the judgment for you, Zach. I like it. I think it means something in so many ways. And my first sense is to go to family. And it's kind of declaring yourself in a new way to family, if you will. So, again, dynamic relationships and what they are. Whereas you may have held back a little bit before, now it's that, again, I really feel a sense of calm about it. And you just being yourself casually and stating, it's like stating your case. And I don't know why I want to say that, but it's just making your case and being okay with it. And if they don't agree or like it, that's cool too, because you're in a place of feeling safe and ought to be in that safe and reciprocated kind of respect. So hope that makes sense. Thanks for the feedback, Jerry. I appreciate that. She said both cards on point. So that's awesome. Thank you. Now we have Jeff, who's on with Shauna. Nice to see you here. What have you got for Jeff, Michael?
I was on mute, so glad to have you. And for you tonight, I have number 30, greatness to deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself of the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Well, what I, from the greatness to deliver, and I'll speak to both of you, there might be a plan in action, and I think I know that about you, but it's with the Nine of Clubs, it's like, be cautious, make a plan. And then I said, well, okay, how does that go? And I pulled out the Wheel of Fortune. So, it's like making a plan for your future. What would you like to do? What is the plan for work or your projects and so on. Just make sure that you have your plan, cross your T's, dot your I's, and know exactly intuitively, and again, you know, reading the room, the economy and such, take a chance. It's an absolute good thing, but provided the timing is correct. So I hope that, you know, you can relate to that in some way.
All right.
Wendy. And
our card keeper herself, Wendy, I have number 2, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
You know, it's not just about the actual symbols when we pull these cards, everybody. It's the first impression. Because you can go in so many different directions with interpreting. And when, Wendy said she had that esteem and validation back on in July. But in this case, you know, even as I'm pulling this card, I had this thought, the Ace of Swords. And I don't think esteem validation is necessarily for you, Wendy, but somebody you might be helping and encouraging them, so that Ace of Swords, as you stand up and are recognized in your, you know, kind of who you are and being bold, it by osmosis rubs off on someone else. And you're helping somebody else find their esteem, their self-esteem. So I think you're setting, you know, an example in some way and being a mentor or a teacher in some way. Just know this, because this comes to mind. As soon as somebody realizes they've been in low self-esteem and they want to be high self-esteem, the pendulum will swing and they can get just a little bit out of line sometimes, and then they just bring it back to the center. I just felt the need to tell you that. So, all right.
Good message. All right. I believe we have doctors are at now. And I think that might be recent, so congratulations if it is. But I
awesome.
Have for you wild card number 2 and then some. Got 2 twos back to back. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Well, the Fool is the first card in the tarot, so the and then some is, I think you're going beyond a dream for yourself. That's what I think, Zoran. And it's adventurous, bold, you know, kind of setting new sights and targets for yourself. So there's been a shift in you. You know, we only dream as far as our reality takes us. And when we learn more and expand that reality and experience, we dream more. And that's what I feel this is for you. And I say, whew, you know, there's a whole new world opening up for you. Certainly a whole new world view, seeing the world differently. So I think 2024 is going to be quite an exciting year for you, Zoran. I do.
I like it.
Well, I think we have Kevin and Edward, and I think that's it.
I think you're right. And Kevin, for you, I have another wild card. Wild card number 8, freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, I get the 4 of clubs, Kevin, and to me that's not literally, but it's the only marriage card to me in all of the tarot. But what I also mean by that is promises, obligations, bonds, you know, where you're bonded to somebody. And so marriage doesn't necessarily mean a document, a legal document. It can mean something that's symbolic in a way. So being free to choose versus obligated to be is very different. And it may well be in a circumstance here you're learning the difference. So there's something being shown to you that is saying, oh, I hadn't seen it that way before. So in being more comfortable and freer, there's this new kinds of bonds being grown, certainly bonds that are growing in a new way that you hadn't had before. And I find that really nice to see. It's an evolution, right?
Very nice. All right. And our last card of the evening, I believe, is Dr. Edward. And
it is.
I have 22. We had two twos, and now we have 22. Mm. Think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, and then I get the Ten of Hearts for you, Edward, which is kind of might be an irony, but the thinking for yourself with family and community, it's still, I think, being true to who you are and not necessarily, you know, being swayed by others, but being more accommodating is, you know, preference versus principle, I think, from Dr. Kelly kind of plays into this. But it is also saying that good celebrations are afoot, and I think also I get this feeling that you've been rubbing off on other people, so it's okay to disagree. So there might be situations coming up where y'all disagree, but that's okay. You know, it's still still have the mutual regard and the love is there. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a good message.
Speaking of twos and stuff, people, I am not losing my mind when I tell you this story. When I was growing up, it was always the group Seals and Crofts with an S on the end. Now, at the beginning of this year, I came across stuff, and the S is gone off of Crofts. And I said, what? I even took it to my family over brunch one day, and I said, do you remember? And they looked it all up, too. Well, now it's Seals and Croft. And we're in another Mandela effect. You know, same thing with Christopher Reeves. Well, there's no S on the end of his name now. This morning, I kind of had to roll my eyes and say, what? I was playing AccuRadio on my computer, and a Susan Croft song came up. So I looked over at it, and the S is back. Now, I'm not kidding. I had talked to people about this, so it wasn't just a little glitch in my brain. The S is back. So I Google it. Sure enough, it's Seals and Crofts again. There's still no S back on Christopher Reeves.
Well, but you can't get everything.
But the other thing is I'm having these repeating numbers, sometimes 4 or 5 times a day. And it's just like really, it's just getting worse, Michael. I'm telling you. I didn't feel that for most of the summer and the spring. And then this fall, it kind of started. And I went, huh, am I just noticing that more? Well, no, it's like every time I look at a clock, it's some repeated number. I went to the store today, bought a few things, $73.73. I went, What is going on?
What are the odds?
You know, and I'm thinking this. So if anybody else is having that experience, I would certainly like to hear from you. And maybe that's something we can talk about next week, Michael.
Yeah.
Repeating numbers. You know, the random number generator, you know, Mandela effect, kind of, let's throw it out there.
I think that sounds great.
People have. Yeah. Well,
you talked me into it.
Well, I'm just an observer like everybody else. I don't know what it means. I mean, are we being downloaded? Is the Matrix had a glitch? Are we restoring an old file in the Matrix? I don't know.
It's a reformatting.
It could be, you know, in the great massive program, but I find it, Wendy's saying, I've had that happen. Charles Carr had a black strip down the middle, and then it didn't. And then a few days later, it was back. Now you're creeping me out here.
Mm,
that's
an odd one.
That's an odd one for sure. And that's, I swear I've been driving at times and I can actually see a glitch. And I say, oh, man, is it my eyes? I need my eyes checked. But I feel like I can see an energetic shift. You know when a movie will have a flutter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I feel like I'm seeing. But how is it that Charles Carr had a black stripe and didn't and then did again? Seals and Crofts again. And so now there's a whole bunch of other things I have to check out, like who really died?
Mm.
I don't know, but it's too bizarre.
Well, reality's in flux, huh?
You know, I mean, I understand reality's a perception. I get it. And I do try to be a critical thinker in these cases, but I know I'm not losing my mind when I see these things, and I even took a picture of it, so I know I'm not nuts. But it's something is happening, and Wendy says he thought I was crazy. Well, you know, I like my kind of crazy, so we can be in that same boat together, Wendy, and I think you're a way better cook than I am, so we'll eat together. So.
That's funny. Well, but, you know, I've noticed things like that in my life, too. And I've kind of gotten to the point where I just roll with it. I'm like, life's weird. Things change. I don't get it. But, hey, I'm just going to try to enjoy things and do what I can.
Yeah, but, Michael, when it's in my face all the time, I swear at least 5 times today when I go to look at the clock, it's 2:22 and 4:44.
Hey,
and I go,
me,
what? You know, it's like, what? It's like. But too many times that I – and look, I think in psychology, you know, the brain, they can have all kinds of, reasonings about what we're attracted to in the subconscious, unconscious mm-hmm. minds. But I didn't look for it, and I didn't see that for months and months, so how come, you know?
Yeah.
And why is it happening like it's faster now? It feels faster. We'll talk about it next week.
It's going to be a good discussion, and I'm very much going to be looking forward to it. But I think for this week, it's that time of the evening. And it has been a very fascinating discussion. I have to say thank you, Dr. Vicki. I was able to kind of sit back and listen and learn and relearn some different facts and traditions about Yuletide and kind of respecting our ancestors and those old traditions. But any last thoughts for the evening, Dr. Vicki?
No, enjoy this time of year, everybody. While everybody else is hectic out there, just chill out. Another thing we did is a fast and hard rule. We drew names, one gift each. The grandkids get one gift from each of us, that's it. And it's all small, under a certain price tag. And we have pared it down year after year, and this year it doesn't hurt my feelings, especially with the price of groceries.
Very true, and very well said. Well, I guess I can't top that, so I guess then that is it for this evening, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.